Hey guys, and welcome to something that is new for Marketing in the Madness. So these episodes are coming to you in collaboration with Madfest. As part of that collaboration, I am going to be interviewing some incredible female leaders, female founders, and men across the industry who are leading the charge and leading the change in our industry that will enable women to reach their full potential and address the long-standing inequalities that still exist, not just in the marketing industry, but across every single industry. So if you're interested in joining me and helping make the world a fairer, more inclusive place, then keep listening because today's episode is going to be a cracker. So guys, welcome back to Marketing in the Madness. Now, this is our special episode where we talk about, well, female leadership and the things that businesses, people, all of us can do to make the workplace fairer, specifically, obviously, in the marketing industry, because that's the industry that I work in. Now, I have Janine with me. She and I have just, is that right? Good English? Anyway, I'm going with it. Her and I, she and I, we have just been recording some awesome content around happiness in the workplace. Janine is the founder of a culture-focused business that works very much in the marketing sector called Happy HQ, but also is a woman, obviously, who has founded her own business and has worked in the marketing industry for her whole career. Well, marketing, PR, comms.
Yeah.
So has had some pretty interesting experiences. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about is what we kind of referenced in the last podcast, which was like you feeling like you had to go out on your own and contract because you wanted to have children. So huge subject, but can you tell me why did you feel like that and what made you feel like you needed to take back that control?
So, yeah, I'd been working in Australia in agency land and, yeah, I'd seen it. I'd seen how women that when they'd started to have children, how, you know, there's some women I probably need to go back and apologize to, you know, they'd have days off with their children and I'd be that typical, did you have a nice day off? And it's not true. It's the hot, you know, coming to work was a break.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd gone traveling and I'd started to work back in the UK and I thought, do you know what? I knew I wanted to try to have a baby and I thought, I don't want to have to hide this at all. Like I wanted to contract and be freelance and be flexible. So I did a 4-day working week. I worked with some amazing roles. So one was like a really independent creative agency that I did 9 months work for. Worked on the likes of Dulux Colour of the Year and like owning authority on colour. That was great. So I was so happy and I was proudly like, you know, here's my bump. I'm leaving in 9 months. This is a fixed term maternity contract. Like that worked for me. And I don't think I ever looked back until recently when I've been sort of like working with companies on culture and thought, wow, you know, yes, that was my decision, but actually that didn't, you know, that came from a real me feeling like there was a need for that else I'd been discriminated against. And so it was me sort of taking control of that.
But what do you think businesses can do? So I think, look, let's hope it's a bit better. But I remember when I was pregnant, I was terrified to tell my boss because I almost felt like I wasn't committed to my job because I was pregnant. And that is crazy. Like that was the happiest time of my life. I was bringing life into the world. Yet I was too scared and anxious to tell my boss because it felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not as committed to my, and I'm, you know, I've always been a workaholic.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'll be back within a few weeks. You know, it will all be, I mean, obviously that isn't quite what happened. I mean, loads of other weird stuff happened as well. But, you know, what can businesses do to support women in pregnancy? Because men, when their wife falls pregnant, you know, they can go in and be like, yeah, you know, I'm really happy and my wife's going to have a baby or we're having a baby. And, you know, the business doesn't go, oh, what's going to happen? Like, I mean, I know what I think needs to happen. I think that the rules need to change. The government needs to catch up with the way that the world now is, where us women have also got careers. You know, we've got policies from 10, 20, 50, 100 years ago that don't support the way that the world now is. That if we could just split, I know that there's edging towards this, and obviously we're carrying the baby, that it's, you know, from a health perspective, there's going to have to be some time off for women, of course. But if workplaces can accommodate us and the government can make some changes to make sure that, you know, we don't feel like that anymore and it's equal, and, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, the business is there to support you.
Yeah.
That would change a lot, I think.
Massively. I think we should just copy everything from the Nordics.
Yes, go on. Tell me what they do in the Nordics.
Oh, just, you know, shared parental leave. You know, there's just make it so much easier to be a parent, because this isn't just a, you know, women's problem. I think it depends whoever's the main carer, really. Since I've been working for myself, say, and I've got children, you know, I'm working every hour I can in between, like, taking care of them. I often feel like, you know, when I'm logged back on my laptop in the evening and I'm thinking, gosh, I've my output is huge.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, in that scene in with Julia Roberts in, what's the film?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Big Mistake.
Yes.
Pretty Woman.
Yep.
I feel like going up to the corporate world going, big mistake. You know, you lost me. You lost me because you couldn't, like, I couldn't make it work, I don't think, like, without true flexibility. And I think when we talk about flexible working in the workplace, it's not about where you work. So just so you know, anyone listening who is a leader out there that says, yeah, we're flexible working because people work from home, that's not true flexible working. That's about where you're working from. So I think, The nine to five, definitely, like, reimagining that, because people might be really like work really well in the morning. They might want to get up at six, get on with their work, break for a bit and log back on later. Does it really matter what time they did that bit of work in, as long as they're getting the results they need? So, yeah, I think, you know, that would shift everything, because then women could work around, you know, children, caring, mental illness, whatever it is. Like, it's not just about women having children, right? It's about, you know, anyone who's underrepresented being able to work around what they're having to deal with as well.
Yeah, totally. I'm so with you on that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I do my best work at 9 o'clock at night. Sometimes I get up at five or six in the morning. Often the best work that I do is when I don't have those interruptions.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, you've got to be online for client calls, but also the world is a much more open and fragmented place now. Like, you know, I was speaking to a client last week. She was like, yeah, I've got to be online for a call at 10 p.m. tonight because a lot of her team are in a different country and they're working in different time zones. One of my friends who I met last year at an agency networking event in Ibiza, fun times, you know, she's just moved to LA, but most of her clients are in the UK still. So she's getting up and working super early because that works for her. So I just think, you know, businesses and the government need to truly look at what flexibility means and not be scared to rip up the rule book and make some changes, because I think that's where truly the magic will happen. And like you say, it will enable women to do work when it works for them and men.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually, especially if you've got a young baby and you're breastfeeding, you know, it's going to be, you're going to need that flexibility.
Yeah. Like, Mother Puck is a massive hero of mine.
Love
yesterday.
Her.
Yeah. Yesterday, actually, at the time of recording this podcast, she announced that the flexibility bill has been passed. So every employee has a right now to request flexibility from day one, which is massive. But that's a result of 54,000 women or something like that being discriminated against for having a baby and feeling pushed out of the workplace. So, yeah.
We've all been, well, not all, but a lot of us have been there. I was made redundant in my maternity and I actually nearly went legal on them, but luckily didn't quite need to go that far because we managed to settle. But yeah, it's tough. It's just, and it's unfair and it needs to change. So I'm going to go a bit deeper now, because one of the questions that we have in the brief for this part of the podcast is some of the bad experiences or things that you've seen as a woman in the workplace. And I'm sure that, like me, you've probably experienced a fair few. But are you happy to talk about any of them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that just, you know, stuff that shouldn't have happened, you know, that was, the Me Too movement was quite close to my heart, you know, just being put in, you know, situations where men, older men, men in leadership positions that would, you know, make comments or... Yeah. And in my line of work as well, I've worked with a lot of men that are in the public, you know, the household name men that have, you know, been married and made advances or whatever, and it shouldn't have been allowed. But yeah.
I think that's, you know, these, unfortunately, I've had a lot of similar experiences, and it does, it, you know, I can see the emotion in you, like it... Because what it does at the time, like when you're in that work environment, and I hadn't, you know, you don't know any different when you're younger. Like when these things happened to me in my 20s, like what it does is it massively puts you on the back foot, because I would be going to present something or trying to sell something to someone, or, you know, coming in like really enthusiastic about my job and my work, and then someone says something or makes an advance. Or, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be physical. It's something someone says or how they speak to you. And it just diminishes your confidence, your self-worth, and you can't show up in the way that you would usually. And I think there was almost like a culture of like be seen and not heard, and it's kind of fine for people to make that, you know, be seen as a sex object. Like I remember people like, oh, you know, when I worked for drinks companies, and we got involved with, I mean, I don't know how much I can say, but I'm going to say it anyway, the London Club and Bar Awards. And they were like, oh, roll Katie out. Katie, wear a short skirt, because people that, you know, we'll get more people to attend or come out in this limo with us for the night. And it was totally wrong. Like, yeah. You know, advances, you know, physical advances were made towards me. And I felt like I had to almost accept them to get ahead in my career, which is horrendous.
Yeah, it's like, you know your role. That's your role. Yeah. Here to be the pretty one so that clients might buy in. I think, I mean, looking back now, knowing what I know now, the boundaries, right, we talked about boundaries in the earlier podcast, like I think I'd like to think now that things like that aren't happening. Yeah. As much, at least, like, but there was a lot of naivety. There's a lot of thinking, well, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope, I mean, from this recording, I hope that if there's one woman listening who's maybe earlier in her career that has had something like this happen, because I wasn't brave enough to say anything, because I thought that I had to do it, and I was scared to lose my job, or, you know, scared not to impress that person because they had a much, you know, I was 22 and they were 52 and in a very powerful position. So I was like, I can't say anything. I can't do anything. I have to. So I hope one outcome is that if one woman can fight back and be an activist and be brave enough to, because that's what I didn't have, was that bravery to stand up for myself and say, God, like, what the hell are you doing? I'm here because I'm brilliant at my job. Yes, I might look okay, but no, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't speak to me like that. You can't touch me like that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. It's, and I do think that's that, hopefully,
yeah,
that gives someone the confidence to actually do that.
Yeah. It's just, you know, in hindsight, it's great, isn't it? You can reflect back and say, I should have just like walked away from that job. But actually, you had rent to pay. Like, I had nothing to fall back on. My parents weren't supporting me. Like, it was just me.
Yeah.
And so you sort of just grin and bear it. But yeah, if there is anyone listening, please say no.
Yeah, please say no. Honestly, guys, it's I wish I'd had, I don't know if I could have said no. I mean, at the time, I don't know if I could have said no, because you're saying, like, then you get sacked or you don't get ahead in your career. It's so tough. I mean, I definitely should have said no, but I didn't. And yeah, I just hope that the world is a bit better now. Guys, I mean, that was really, I felt really emotional to me. Like, yeah, I could see it in you, because I think we've probably both had very similar experiences, as probably a lot of our lovely listeners sadly have had. So we're here, guys, we're advocating the change. As businesses, I think there's a lot that we can do to support this. Janine, are there things that you've, you know, policies that you've seen put in place, or that you're working or have worked with any of your clients on, to help equal the balance and make it fairer for women in the workplace?
I think generally it's just having conversations around stereotypes, biases. I think there's a lot of like learning and unlearning to do. I can't stand the phrase like, oh, I don't have any biases. Like, yes, you do. We all have unconscious biases. Like, you know, discriminating women is just one of many things. And I think, you know, the word that always stands out to me is being humble. Like, leaders, just be, you know, like, lead with humility and come from a place of like, I don't know everything. You know, every day is a learning day. You know, listen to women's stories, listen to everyone's stories, not just women. Like, you know, I'm learning all the time. Yesterday, and I was in a supermarket and my son came up to me and said, what are you doing, Mum? I said, oh, not, you know, I tried to like shove him away. I said, I'm just picking up some girly bits of makeup. And he said, it's not girly bits. Like, boys can wear makeup too, Mum. And I said, you know what? I like stopped in my tracks. I looked him in the eye and I was so proud. I was like, you're so right. And he's reflecting back what I've taught him. And I just, you know, he's 9 years old. And I just think like every day we F up, we make mistakes, like, you know, nobody's perfect. And I think if we're trying to constantly come from a place of perfection, it's just not good for us. There's no such thing as perfect culture or a perfect leader. Just think progress over perfection constantly.
I love that. And leading with humility, that is 100% is listen, you know, keep these conversations happening because that's what empowers the change.
Yeah, exactly.
Fab. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you so much.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed today. I mean, I have loved recording with you. I've enjoyed every single moment of today's podcast. So I hope you guys have too. You know what to do. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, give us a like or no, give us a follow, not give us a like. But if you can give us a 5-star rating, please also do that because it does really help us with our reach and, you know, get more attention for these important things that we talk about. So yeah, big thank you to all of you guys for listening as well.